Okay, thank you very much. You can go back to your seat now. It's safe over there. I'm happy to do a juggling show. I do a lot of juggling shows at the parish, sometimes for birthday parties and for school assemblies. And it is interesting when I have the machetes in the back of the car if I ever get pulled over by the cops. Because I did hear the story once, there was a juggler and the cops pulled him over and they said, "What are those sharp knives in the back? We're going to arrest you for carrying weapons." And he said, "No, I'm a juggler." And the police officer said, "Prove it to me." So he got the fella out of the car, and they were by the side of the road, and he began juggling the machetes. All these cars are whizzing by in both directions. And this old farmer and his wife are driving by, and they see this scene. And the husband turns to his wife and says, "Honey, make sure I never drink and drive. I can never pass those new sobriety tests." Well, today, the topic I've been asked to speak about is practical ways to evangelize. Now, of course, evangelization is spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, Peter Kreef says, if there is good news, it means there must also be bad news, namely heaven and hell. And that's why we evangelize. We want as many souls to go to heaven as possible. We want to save our own souls. We want to save our friends, our families, your spouses, your children, your grandchildren. We want to save as many people as possible because heaven exists and hell exists. That's the starting principle. There is good news, what Jesus Christ has done for us, but there's also the bad news is out there. It exists. And I did come across an email that somebody sent me. I read this at my Mass a couple of weeks ago. But it's a cute little story. There was a couple from Minnesota decided to go to Florida for a few weeks during the winter. They planned to stay at the very same hotel where they had spent their honeymoon 20 years before. Because of their hectic schedules, they had to fly separately. So the husband left Minnesota and flew to Florida on Thursday, with his wife flying down the following day. The husband checked into the hotel. Since there was a computer in the room, he decided to send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left out one letter in her email address. Without realizing his error, he sent the email to a different address. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow had just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a minister of many years who was called home to glory following a sudden heart attack. The widow decided to check her email, expecting messages of condolences from relatives and friends. After reading the message, she fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor and saw on the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife. Subject, I've arrived. Honey, I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you're allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. P.S. It sure is hot down here." Okay, so heaven exists and hell exists, and so that's why we're here tonight, is to get some practical ideas for evangelization. Now, I want to keep this. I want to give you 9 ideas, and so the easy way to do that is to use the word practical, because there's 9 letters in that word. So the P in practical stands for prayer. Our evangelization has to flow out of a life of prayer and union with Jesus Christ. We are Christians. We're called to be other Christ. We're supposed to be the living presence of Christ in this world of ours. And so we must begin our evangelization by being men and women of prayer. And that means participating in the sacraments. The greatest prayer is the Mass. So I'd recommend, if you want to be a good evangelist, if you want to be a good apostle, not only go to Mass every Sunday, try to go to daily Mass. Try to receive the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread." Try to have the daily bread that you receive be Christ Himself. That's the greatest prayer. If you want to deepen your prayer life, start going to daily Mass. And if you can, try to make a holy hour every day before the Blessed Sacrament. Bishop Sheen said, if you make a holy hour every day before the Lord, it will transform your life. If you spend that time reading Scripture, that time in prayer, it will completely transform your whole life. He says, whatever major problem you have, whatever major defect, it will be eliminated if you spend that hour before the presence of the Son of God. So be a person of prayer. Make sure you pray your rosary every day. Your rosary is like the net that you cast out to bring souls to Christ. It's the fisherman's net. So when you pray your rosary, the Lord will use you to bring souls into the church and back to the church. One of the great spiritual writers said that prayer is the heart and soul of the apostolate. If we have a life of prayer, that means we'll be growing in personal holiness. And think of the great evangelists of the last century. Think of Mother Teresa. Think of her great prayer life. She spent about 3 hours a day before the Blessed Sacrament. Pope John Paul II spent many hours before the Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. And when people meet a person who's a person of prayer, that itself will begin to evangelize the other person. You'll be able to tell because that person has been with Christ. And that person will radiate Christ. And so, first of all, start with being a man or woman of prayer. Secondly, the second letter in practical is R, which stands for read and study your Catholic faith. Become an avid reader. Never give up studying the faith. Even after going 4 years of college and 4 years of the seminary, even priests, we have to continue reading. Try to read about 1 hour a day in theology, in scripture, in the catechism. Every Catholic, if they could, should read every single day. Now, of course, a lot of you are spending time driving in the car. Get the good books on tape. Get the cassettes. And as one author says, don't just be a bookworm, become a tapeworm. Okay? A tapeworm, listen to tapes every day when you drive. Think of all the great tapes that are out there. Bishop Sheen, Father Carapi, Scott Hahn, Steve Wood, Jeff Cavins, Marcus Brodie, Mother Angelica, Mother Teresa. You can get the most incredible, rich, solid spirituality by listening to tapes every day when you drive your car. Listen to CDs in your car. So read and study your faith. I'd especially recommend studying two things, the scriptures and the catechism. Become steeped in sacred scripture. We as Catholics have to get to know the Lord, as St. Jerome said, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. So begin by reading the scripture on the one hand and the catechism of the Catholic Church on the other. Thirdly, the third letter in practical is A, and that stands for apologetics. Apologetics is the art and science of defending and explaining your Catholic faith. Peter Kreef says that apologetics is the car that drives you to the ocean. Now, you can drive somebody to the ocean, but they're the ones that still have to plunge in. But apologetics is the car that takes you to the ocean. It's giving reasons for the hope that lies within us. So what books should we be reading to learn about our faith and to study it in apologetics? This is the best one I've ever found for beginners, Beginning Apologetics Part 1. And I have some information on over on the table on how you can get a copy, how to explain and defend your Catholic faith. So begin with something like this and study the topics, because really our beloved Protestant brothers and sisters in Christ who love the Lord, usually they have about 6 to 10 objections or questions about the faith. And all you have to do is to be able to clear up misunderstandings and they will come into the church. It's taking away the boulders, the stumbling blocks that might be in their way. And usually their problems with the church are just that, misunderstandings. For example, the 6 or 7 topics that you need to try to learn more about are, first of all, why go to confession to a priest? They always ask that same question. Is purgatory in the Bible? Why do you give so much honor to Mary and the saints? What about the Pope? Where did the papacy come from? Is the Bible alone the sole source of our authority? What about faith alone? Is it faith in good works or is it faith alone? What about the Eucharist? Is it truly the body and blood of Christ? And which is the one true church? Those are just some topics that you should delve into and try to learn more about so you can actually be able to explain and defend your faith by using sacred scripture. I would recommend in studying apologetics and in dealing with people that try not to argue with people. Dale Carnegie once said, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So try not to argue or battle, but try to gently and lovingly unfold the beauty and the riches of the teachings of the faith to our beloved brothers and sisters. Try to build as many bridges as you can. Show, first of all, our common beliefs, our belief in God, our belief in Christ, the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, our pro-life issues. Think of the different things that we have in common with those that we're discussing the faith with. Build the bridges first, and then try to lead them to the fullness of the faith. The next letter is C, and that stands for the most important virtue that any evangelist needs to have, and that is charity. Bishop Sheen, who probably brought more converts into the faith than anyone in the last century, said there were three qualities in order to bring converts into the faith. He said, you might want to write these down. The first one, he says, was kindness. The second was kindness, and the third was kindness. Okay, it's easy to remember. But he said that in spreading the faith, that's the most important quality, charity. Charity is speaking the truth. Jesus says, the truth will set you free. So it's an act of charity to preach the truth and to tell people the truth, even though they might not like to hear it sometimes. But if you do it with clarity and with humility and with gentleness, the truth is powerful. It's like that two-edged sword that will cut away the things that should not be there. So fill yourself with charity. Frank Duff, the founder of the Legion of Mary, said, the secret of influence is love. The next letter in practical is T. And that stands for some techniques and tips on how to evangelize. And here's a couple very practical things on how to evangelize. First of all, always wear something Catholic or Christian. See, it's easy for a priest or a nun, right? Because we always wear something Catholic. But for you, make sure you wear, let's say, a cross or maybe a little medal or a crucifix. Wear something Catholic that people will see. Maybe the pro-life rose, maybe the little precious feet for the unborn. Wear something that people will see. And that way, you might be able to get into some conversations with them. I know many people, if you go to a picnic, wear a Catholic t-shirt, like top 10 reasons to be Catholic. That's a good one. There's a great one I saw advertising the rosary. It said, pray the rosary. Your blessed mother hasn't heard from you in decades. I would also recommend that when you go to a restaurant, say grace. Bow your heads and say pray. Because it's amazing how many people might see that. And you're not doing it to show off. You're doing it because you want God to bless your food. Especially if you go to a place that's sort of questionable in how good this food is. You definitely might need to do a blessing. But bow your heads. It's amazing. It just might remind somebody of prayer and thinking about God. Also, on your cell phone and on your voicemail at home, always end by saying, thanks for calling and God bless you. Again, that will remind somebody. These are very easy, very simple things to do, but they're reminders of God. I also recommend that you get a good bumper sticker for your car. A good pro-life bumper sticker. Because, I mean, face it, we're sitting in traffic an awful lot, right? Look at 66, Route 95, 395, going into D.C. What else is there to do but look and read the bumper sticker on the person in front of you? And so I brought some free bumper stickers for all of you over here, okay? Some good pro-life ones, like if you can read this, your mother was pro-life, you know? Some great bumper stickers. A friend of mine remember during the Clinton administration, he had one that said, Dr. Kevorkian for White House physician, okay? So I wouldn't have that on myself because I'd rather have a Catholic statement, a good pro-life one, like you can't be pro-abortion and be Catholic at the same time. So there's some good things that you can get on bumper stickers. So have a bumper sticker. I saw one that said, those who wait to convert in the 11th hour usually die at 10:30. That's a good one. Or don't wait for six strong men to carry you into a church. See, these things can make people think. So get one or two bumper stickers, put them on the back of your car, and you'll be an evangelizing machine. As you drive. Also, I'd recommend becoming a Catholic litter bug, okay? Become a Catholic litter bug. After you're done with the Arlington Herald, don't throw it out. If you get good Catholic newspapers and periodicals and magazines, when you're done with them, don't throw them out. Take them when you're on the metro and just happen to leave it behind on the seat. The next person, I mean, Jack Chick does this with all these anti-Catholic booklets. It drives me crazy. I go picking them up, and if I see them in a parking lot, I go out and take them off every windshield because they're so obviously filled with so many errors. But when you go to a place, if you have a good pamphlet like Pillar of Fire, Pillar of Truth, or some other holy cards, just leave them. If I go in an airport, I'll leave a couple things behind, a couple holy cards, and some little booklets on the faith. Somebody might pick that up and come back to the sacraments. So become a Catholic litter bug. I'd also recommend, if you don't have, I would get a license plate that you can also have some sort of a scripture passage. Like mine says JNCH6, which stands for John Chapter 6. At least 10 people over the course of the last 15 years have said, Father, what is Joint Channel 6? What is that? But it gives me a chance to explain. They say, why John Chapter 6? And I go into a discourse on the Eucharist. So have something, a priest friend of mine has Get to Heaven. Isn't that a good one? That's better than go to you know where. So Get to Heaven. So try to have a license plate and pick like Psalm 23 or pick something good. Maybe pick Benedict the 16th. That would be a good one. If you can, at your workplace, try to put up a holy card or some holy pictures. Now, some of you work in an environment where you're not allowed to display anything religious, but if you have your own business, put up a holy card. One of the best evangelists I know was a hairdresser, and she had pictures of her kids and pictures of her parents, and she had a picture of Jesus and Mary right there. And it was great because she had these sharp scissors and she was cutting people's hair. And they would ask questions. And you're not going to argue with somebody with sharp scissors around your hair. So she was able to spread the faith and evangelize by being a hairdresser. So keep that in mind, that at your desk, place of work, have a picture so people might get into a conversation with you about that. Also, when you can, instead of sending secular birthday cards and secular Christmas cards, send religious birthday cards or religious Christmas cards with a picture of the Madonna and the Christ child. And if you send, let's say, a birthday card, enclose a holy card of the Sacred Heart or the Immaculate Heart of Mary. See, these are so easy. These are so easy ways to evangelize. Give religious gifts to your nieces and your nephews. They have all the other secular gifts. Everybody gives them that. But why not give them a children's Bible or a book about the saints or something that will really enrich them? And I'd highly recommend that you get this gift from the Catholic shop, okay? Which happens to be my parents' store out in Chantilly. So try to give religious gifts. Bring your nieces and nephews, your brothers and sisters, closer to God. So those are just some tips on being an evangelist. Very easy to do those things. The next letter is I in practical. And that stands for to imitate our Blessed Mother, to imitate Our Lady. She was the first evangelist. After she conceived Christ in her womb, what did she do? She didn't sit around in Nazareth. She went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. So she took Christ to Elizabeth, and that's what an evangelist does. You take Christ to those that you want to meet. So Mary was the first evangelist to bring Jesus. And so imitate Our Lady. Try to always imitate Our Lady in her sweetness and gentleness, her patience, her faith, her hope, her charity. And I'd recommend that you undertake St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion. How many, out of curiosity, have ever made the consecration? Raise your hand. The 33-day consecration. Okay, great. Get a copy, if you've not done it, get a copy of the book, The True Devotion by St. Louis de Montfort. This was the spirituality of Pope John Paul II, who's going to be known as Pope John Paul the Great, and eventually St. John Paul. And this was his spirituality. He's going to be a great saint one day. And his motto was, Totus Tuus, I am all yours, Jesus, through the hands of Mary. He made this consecration, Mother Teresa did, they lived this. So pick a day and give yourself away. Make the consecration to Jesus through the hands of Our Lady and make the 33-day preparation, the true devotion. So imitate Our Lady and entrust your ministry to her maternal care. The next letter is C, and that stands for make use of the channels of grace. See, we're so blessed in the Catholic Church to belong to the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church founded by Christ. We have so many channels of grace, the seven channels or the sacraments. Do your best to bring other people to the sacraments. If your nieces and nephews aren't baptized yet, talk to their parents about it. Get them baptized. Try to bring people to Mass. You can even use sneaky ways to do it. Tell people, hey, on Saturday night we're going to go out for dinner at 7 o'clock, but we're actually going to meet at 6 o'clock for the Vigil Mass, and then we'll go out for dinner. Use sneaky ways to get people to Mass. And then also take people to confession. One of the greatest things you can do is to bring a person to confession, especially if it's been many years. And confession is such a wonderful sacrament. It was an amazing story. Just 2 weeks ago, I was hearing confessions at the parish, and a woman had said that her husband had been away from church for about 12 years, having gone to confession about 12 years, she said. And but their anniversary was the next day, their wedding anniversary, their 47th anniversary. So I said, well, I know he's elderly and things. Just have him come first to confession, and then you won't have to stand in line. And so she did. She brought him, and when he got into the confessional, he went to confession, and it was a wonderful experience. And then he left, and then about 15 minutes later, I hear fire trucks, I hear sirens, I hear ambulances. So somebody knocked on the door and says, Father, come out quickly, come out quickly. And so I went out, and this man, who had just come back to confession after 12 years, had collapsed suddenly and had, I guess, a massive heart attack. So I was right there to give him the anointing of the sick and the apostolic pardon. And it was the feast day of Divine Mercy. It was almost the exact hour and minute that Pope John Paul II had died. It was like Saturday about 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And you see how comforting that was for the family to know that he had been able to go to confession and that the priest was there to anoint him and to give him the sacraments. And that was an amazing experience for me of helping somebody to enter into eternal life, to help prepare their soul. And apparently God had touched his heart to want to come back to confession after a number of years. And the Lord provided. Because if he had passed away at his home, all the priests would be hearing confession, saying Saturday Night Mass, nobody could have gotten there. But the fact that God brought him to our confession was a beautiful thing. So confession is a wonderful channel of grace. If it's been a while, if you haven't gone in a while, make sure you go and try to bring somebody to confession. So remember that the sacraments are channels of God's grace to the world. Also, next to the sacraments, after that comes the sacramentals. Make use of the sacramentals of the church. Give out holy cards, miraculous medals, things like that. I even tell parents when their kids are at school, go into their room, especially the teenagers, and bless their rooms with holy water, okay? And I'll be happy to make some extra strength holy water just for them. Holy water is a sacramental. God can work through these sacraments and the sacramentals. Just giving somebody a miraculous medal can make a big difference. So I would encourage you to become a miraculous meddler in the life of other people. Give them a miraculous medal. I know so many stories of people who have been converted or come back to the church after 10, 20, 30 years because somebody gave them a medal of Our Blessed Mother. And of course, one of the most amazing stories was this woman in Baltimore. I have a copy of the article. She was waiting at a bus stop, and this guy came up and tried to steal her pocketbook. And when she pushed him away, he took out a gun and shot her from 5 feet away. The bullet, this was August 31st, 1989. The bullet hit the miraculous medal that she was wearing. It knocked her over, and then he ran away, and the people took her to John Hopkins Hospital. When she got there, she still had the medal. Around half the medal was still there, and it had stopped the bullet from piercing her heart. And the doctor says, if she wasn't wearing it, she probably would not have lived. So the moral of the story is, if you guys ever go to Baltimore, I want you to wear these miraculous medals, okay? So make sure that I'm going to give all of you a miraculous medal tonight. I have it as a gift for all of you. A very dangerous neighborhood here. So give people rosaries. Give out. Bishop Sheen says, if you teach a non-Catholic to pray the rosary, they will either become Catholic or they'll stop praying the rosary. The rosary will lead them into the Catholic faith. It'll lead them to read the scriptures. It'll lead them right into the church. Because if you can instill in somebody a love for Our Lady, she'll take them the rest of the way. She'll take them to the Eucharist. She'll bring them back to confession. It's amazing what Our Lady can do. I would recommend, realize that you want to set up channels of grace in the lives of other people. And there's really three things that can bring another person closer to God. Holy people, holy places, and holy things. The holy things I mentioned, the sacraments and the sacramentals. Holy places are things like going to a pilgrimage to the Holy Land or to Rome or to Assisi, or even going to the Basilica of the National Shrine, or going to the Franciscan Monastery, or even going bringing somebody into a church, try to get the people to that you're trying to evangelize, take them to a shrine, take them to a holy place like the grotto up in Emmitsburg, or take them to see the body of St. John Newman in Philadelphia, or Catherine Drexel. Try to take people to holy places, holy churches, holy basilicas, because God can work through holy things, holy places, and then holy people. If you know a wonderful religious sister, try to bring people to have, you know, invite her to, over to the house for dinner. If you know a pastor or a priest, invite them over and bring your fallen away neighbors, your fallen away relatives and friends, and get them to meet people of faith that can make a huge difference. And then yourself become a channel of God's grace in the lives of other people. The second to last letter is A, and that stands for making the faith attractive and appealing. See, we are so blessed to belong to the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. The Catholic should be the most joyful and happiest of all people because we have the seven sacraments, we have the Pope, the 265th successor of St. Peter, we have our Blessed Mother, we have the angels, the saints, the teachings of the Church to guide us. We have all these wonderful things. And so we need to show people the blessings and the benefits of being a Catholic, of belonging to the fullness of the faith. And so make the faith appealing, make the faith attractive. I'd especially recommend that you talk about miracles, like the miracles of the Eucharist, Eucharistic miracles. Talk about the incorrupt saints. Talk about the apparitions like Lourdes and Fatima and Guadalupe, because these things are very attractive. Why do so many Catholics show up on Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday, right? Why? Because people are tangible. They want to see physical things. And they like the sacramentals of the Church. So use the sacramentals that are very attractive and very appealing. Talk about miracles. Talk about apparitions. And that will lead them to the heart of the Gospel, to Jesus Christ in the Most Blessed Sacrament. And lastly, the last letter in L stands for join an organization like the Legion of Mary, which is the L, or another apostolate. There are so many wonderful groups in the Church that you can join that can get you to be an evangelist. See, it's awfully hard to evangelize just by yourself. But if you join a support group, you know, a prayer group, a group where you come together and pray and study the faith, and where you're sent out in pairs to go to the nursing homes, to go to the hospitals, to go to the prisons, to do door-to-door evangelization. If you belong to an organization, it'll make it 10 times easier. How many of us would really be active in the faith if it wasn't for the support that we would receive in an organization? So my recommendation would be join the Legion of Mary, join a Catholic organization that can give you spiritual formation, that can help you to become a saint, that will deepen your prayer life, teach you the faith, and give you the opportunities to evangelize. So those are the 9 practical ways to evangelize. So what we'll do now is we'll say a closing prayer, give you a chance to ask a few questions, and while you're asking questions, I'll pass out some of the handouts. I have some very good articles, very good handouts about apologetics, like the history of the Church and the list of all the popes from Peter to John Paul II, and lots of other things. We have the medals of the Blessed Mother that we'll give to all of you. And sort of your homework will be that after you read these things over, your job, you're going to get homework tonight, and that is you have to give it to somebody else, especially somebody that's not Catholic or not Christian. Give the medal to somebody and explain it. I have the pamphlet here that explains all the symbols on the medal. So consider doing that. And if you do that, you'll be an evangelist. You'll be spreading the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ.
A lot of people think evangelizing is something awkward. It's non-sequitur. It's introducing a weird topic into a conversation. Can you suggest some ways to start a conversation and move it in the direction of evangelizing?
That's a great question. I'll repeat it for the sake of the people in the back. The question is, sometimes it's awkward to bring up religious topics. And so what can you do to make it more natural? Well, one way is that almost everybody's name, most people are named after a saint. Let's say if the person's name is Catherine. So, you know, that's a beautiful name. You know, there's a Did you know in our church there's a St. Catherine of Siena, St. Catherine Labouret? If somebody's name is Teresa, talk about Mother Teresa or St. Therese, a little flower. Sometimes if people have an accent, if they're from France, you can then get into, in France they have a place called Lourdes where Our Lady appeared, or Wittebach, where Our Lady appeared with a miraculous medal. So there are different ways that you can, for example, if somebody's from Portugal, you can talk about Fatima. If they're Italian, talk about the Pope. There's, in almost every country, is a Catholic shrine. And so you try to get into conversations like that. Now, in this day and age, we're very blessed because we have things like, the Catholic Church is really in the headlines with Pope John Paul II passing away and Benedict XVI. So those are great topics to get good topics about the Catholic faith. So try to catch the person's name and then get into a conversation about a particular saint that they may be named after, or their birthdays. You meet somebody whose birthday is July 16th, you might say, did you know that's a feast day of Our Lady of Mount Carmel? Or if their birthday is October 4th, say, it's a feast day of St. Francis. He loved animals. So try to use opportunities. And oftentimes you can even say, if the person's from D.C., say, have you ever been to the Franciscan Monastery? Have you ever been to the Basilica, the National Shrine? So think of holy people, places, or things that you can connect them with, and those would be easier ways to bring up Catholic topics. That's a great question. Okay, another question from down here.
The medals you gave us, Did you bless them, and why do you need to bless them?
Okay, the question is, are the medals blessed? And the answer is yes, I bless these medals of Our Lady. They're called the Miraculous Medal. The original name was the Medal of the Immaculate Conception. I think in this day and age, and we live in such a culture of death, the Pope wants us to promote the culture of life, the civilization of love. And one thing I like about this medal is it's a pro-life medal, because on it says, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. See, if Mary's life began at conception, then everybody's life began at conception. That little unborn baby, that life began at conception. So it's a great pro-life medal, and when people wear it, there have been conversions. Once people put it around their neck, sometimes they're given the gift of faith. The story of Alphonse Ratisbonne is amazing. He was anti-Catholic. Somebody gave him a medal. He wore it, and the Blessed Mother appeared to him. And instantly, she infused the entire Catholic faith. He never had to go to RCIA for 9 months. He was just given the gift of faith. And the priest interviewed him, and he was able to answer all the questions. Now, that was a blessed medal. Why do we bless an object? Well, when you bless an object, the priest says a prayer over that object. Water for holy water. You know how to make holy water, right? You boil the hell out of it. Did you know that? So you make holy water. You say a prayer over that water. You say a prayer over that metal. And wherever that metal is, there's a prayer in that spot. So when you bless holy water and then you sprinkle holy water or bless salt around, everywhere that salt or water goes, a prayer is there. And the devil doesn't like to be in a place where there's prayer. So it adds a special benediction, a special blessing of God when a priest or a deacon blesses a religious object, because there's a prayer that then covers it. I think if we could see with the eyes of faith, we'd have almost like an invisible aura of God's grace and protection around it. So that's why we bless objects, is because everywhere that object goes, a prayer is present, and prayer is what gets us closer to God. Okay, shall we keep working our way up? And your question is? I'm just teasing. Any other questions from back there? Yes, Greg.
Yeah. Father, somebody walked up to you and said, what is the gospel? And you had five or six sentences and you could give them before they left. How would you summarize the gospel?
Wonderful question. What is the gospel? And how can you reduce it to, let's say, five or six sentences? Which is very easy. The gospel is the good news, which is Jesus Christ. Remember that the gospel is a person. It is the person of Jesus Christ. So who is Jesus Christ? He is the Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. So when you want to evangelize, you're bringing people to Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. As we read in yesterday's Gospel of Mass, Sunday's Gospel, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So the Gospel is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and accepting His teachings, one of which is to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus says, go into the whole world and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He who is baptized will be saved. He who rejects it, the Lord says, will be condemned. So the heart of the Gospel is accepting Jesus Christ as Lord. He's the Son of God. You have to believe that He died on the cross for you, that He rose from the dead, and that He established His church, which gives us the sacraments to help bring us closer to Him. So the Gospel is accepting what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and applying that to our lives, saying, Lord, I cannot save myself. And we cannot save ourselves. We cannot get to heaven without the work of Jesus Christ. Therefore, to reduce it into one sentence, the Gospel is saying, Jesus Christ, you're my Lord and Savior. I cannot get to heaven without you. You died on the cross for me, and I want your precious blood to wash over me, to save me, to transform me, to sanctify me, so that I can one day be with you forever in all eternity. And we know the way that God reveals Himself to us is through the sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and teaching of the magisterium. Those are the three prongs of the stool upon which the pillars of the faith are established. So Jesus Christ is God. He established His Catholic Church. He wants everybody to belong to it. One holy Catholic and apostolic church. Greg, did I answer the question you were looking at?
Yeah, I think I've got 6 sentences. Thank you.
Very good. Okay, I hope that helped. Okay. Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about the 33 days of consecration?
The 33 days of consecration. There's a book that you can get. It's only $3 for this book. And the first week has readings from the Imitation of Christ and the Gospels and the Mumford's True Devotion. And in the first week, you try to rid yourself of the spirit of the world, all the worldliness that's out there. The second week is trying to grow a knowledge of self. The next week has readings and prayers about knowledge of Mary. And the last week is knowledge of Christ. And so it's a 33-day preparation of prayers and readings that help you and to open your heart to give yourself and to renew your baptismal vows and promises. Because everybody should renew their baptismal vows and promises. You were baptized as a baby. Your parents and godparents professed the faith on your behalf back then. But you have to do that as an adult. And so De Montfort's consecration is renewing your baptismal vows and promises, accepting Christ, rejecting the devil, and entrusting yourself to Mary, who then gives you to Jesus. She's the perfect way to get to Christ, because that's the way Christ came to us, was through Mary. Can we outthink God? Can we think of a better way to go back to Jesus than through His mother? That's what we do during the 33-day preparation. On the last day, you go to Mass and Communion, you go to confession, and then you write out your consecration, and then you date it and sign it. And that means you've officially renewed your baptismal vows and promises. It's a great question. Yes, in the back.
You mentioned that the letter R was for reading, I think so. Is that what you're
reading,
saying?
Yes.
And you mentioned sacks and also CDs, have the scriptures, listen in your car. Another medium that I can recommend are MP3 files. I found them on the web. You can put them in your iPod or whatever MP3 player you have. You can do a 512 megabyte MP3 player will hold the Old Testament and the New Testament. Carry that around with you. There's one website that provides it free. I managed to find it. They make you download every single one of them individually. It takes a very long time. But I've done it, so if anyone wants that, if you're an MP3 player, give me a business card or give me your email address and I'll finally get it.
What a wonderful idea. I did forget to mention that there are so many good Catholic websites out there. And so, besides tapes, CDs, and books, There are some excellent Catholic videos. Like in my library at the parish, we have over 700 Catholic videotapes. Entire series of Bishop Sheen and Scott Hahn and Mother Teresa. So you can make use of those Catholic DVDs. But also these websites and the MP3s are a wonderful way to learn and study your faith. Excellent point. Anybody else? Yes.
Yeah, Father, where do we look to get courage to evangelize? Like, where would you look to, or anybody look to?
Well, what I think you should do is every day when you wake up, you take your brown scapular right here, you kiss it, and you say, Mary, use me today to bring souls closer to God. And she'll give you the courage. And so entrust yourself to Our Lady. And again, join a support group that will help you evangelize. Join the Legion of Mary. Join good organizations that you'll meet and get spiritual formation, learn the Bible, learn the faith, and they'll send you out, usually with an experienced partner, to do home-to-home visitation, welcome new parishioners, go to prisons, hospitals, nursing homes. So the best way to get courage is, as the Nike commercial says, just do it. You know, just go out there and just do it. And have fun when you do it as well. Wherever I go, I always carry a pocket full of miraculous medals. If I travel somewhere, I always have medals. And when I go to a restaurant, I usually try to, as a priest, I leave a very big tip, okay, because you don't want to give a bad example, right? So leave a big tip, and you can leave, if you get a conversation with the waitress, actually give her a miraculous medal, or give him a miraculous medal. So just carry some medals and holy cards with you. And the best way, though, I mean, realize that in the workplace, just being a good example, not using God's name in vain, being honest, being a person of integrity, not gossiping, not backbiting, not talking about people behind their back, if you're living your Christian faith and not using God's name in vain, not telling dirty jokes, that itself, you'll be evangelizing just by your example. And, for example, when you leave on Sunday morning to go out to Mass, people see you drive out of your house. They probably know you're going to Mass. If you can have a statue of Our Lady in your front yard, that's a great thing, from a nativity scene there at Christmas. So there are things that you can do, and the more you do it, the more courageous you get. By wearing a medal, by having that pro-life bumper sticker, that good Catholic bumper sticker in the back of your car. It's a great thing. In fact, if you have a bumper sticker in the back of your car, you'll be a better driver because you'll be more polite because you're representing the faith. Like this one time I cut this guy off in the red pickup truck. I didn't realize that he laid on his horn and he was yelling at me and he gave me the finger and all this stuff. And it was my fault, I must admit. And I thought to myself, oh no, I have John chapter 6 in my license plate. I have love babies born and unborn. And the bumper sticker said, you know, I'm supposed to be representing the church. And he was yelling at me, I was yelling back at him. And then, you know what happens when you're driving down the road and light turns red and you pull up right next to the person? Oh, that's the worst feeling in the world. And so what I did was I realized I was representing the church, so I rolled down the passenger side window, and I think he thought I was going to yell at him, and I said, hey, buddy, I'm sorry. It's my fault. Forgive me. And he immediately changed and said, that's okay, man. People have been cutting me off all day. And so I said, hey, sorry I did it, and I waved at him, and he waved back at me, and he was very friendly after that. But it's an example of just my... You're trying to get a little bit out there with your faith, doing something Catholic like the pro-life bumper sticker, wearing a crucifix or a medal. Those things can help a lot to give you more courage. So join an organization, pray to the Holy Spirit, and Our Lady will actually send souls your way to bring them closer to Christ. Okay, great question. Okay, time for a couple more. Anybody else in the back? Anybody in the middle? Anybody in the front?
Who is called to evangelize?
Who is called to evangelize? Well, that's the easy one, because every single person is called to evangelize. Jesus said, go into the whole world to preach the gospel to every creature. And Vatican II says that by our very baptism and confirmation, we're called to evangelize and to be apostles. So we cannot sit on the fence. See, all of you are a mighty force, like there's like 80 or 100 people here or whatever. If every one of you would be out there evangelizing, we could convert Arlington in a short period of time. It would be amazing. So we're all called to evangelize. Jesus said that. The Pope said that. Vatican II said that. So it's not optional. Even the person who's paralyzed, the elderly 90-year-old person in the nursing home, they're maybe the only thing they can do is to pray. But they're still called to share the faith of Jesus Christ. They're still called to evangelize by offering up their pain and their suffering for the conversion of poor sinners and the salvation of souls. Even little kids, Pope John Paul II said that moms have to evangelize moms, dads have to evangelize dads, children have to evangelize other children. Just this afternoon I was at our Junior Legion of Mary. Phenomenal. These kids are ages 8 years old up through 17, and they're out there doing fantastic work, visiting the shut-ins, the nursing homes, the elderly, and even these little 8-year-olds are out there spreading the faith in Jesus Christ. And I know little old ladies up in Philadelphia, 85-year-old little Puerto Rican lady, she's like the best apostle door-to-door. You know, she's phenomenal. And so people of any age can evangelize and need to evangelize. And think about, maybe, I don't know if many of you are married or single, but while you're still single, make good use of your time. And because you have great opportunities to evangelize, because once you get married, start having kids, a lot of that evangelization will be done within, you know, a lot of your time will be taken up with your spouse and with your children. But right now, if you're not married, you have the freedom to really spread the faith, to get out there and evangelize, and to bring this world to Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray together. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. May God bless you, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and travel safely. Amen.